Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. I'd like to welcome you to our service. This message is for the week of September 19th, 2021. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 2, and it's entitled, What a Mighty God We Serve. The call to worship is taken from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. God, our Savior, showed us how good and kind He is. He saved us because of His mercy, and not because of any good things we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us His Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me begin by reading Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Now, Paul's letter to the Ephesians begins in chapter 1 with a song of praise, followed by a prayer for spiritual insight into all that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has done to make our salvation possible. Ephesians chapter 2 then makes it personal by getting us to remember our situation before God reached out to us in Christ. We see this in verses 1, 2, and 3. And it finishes then at the end with the blessings that we've received from being part of God's reunited family in Christ, verses 19 to 22. We have been brought from death to life, from being an outsider to a member of God's household, and from deserving God's wrath to receiving God's grace. How did this happen? And how did we get here? Ephesians chapter 2 is a celebration of the answers to those questions. And we can see it summarized in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. In this passage, we see what God has demonstrated through us, what God did for us, and what God designed us to be. Let's look first of all what God demonstrated through us. We see this especially in verses 4 and 5. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. When we think of our salvation, may we always be in awe of God's mercy, love, and grace that He extended to us. In our deliverance from sin, the magnificence of God's character is on display as He shows His mercy to us undeserving rebels. And if you wonder if you're really an undeserving rebel, read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 again. Why does He extend us such grace? We see in this verse, it's because He loves us so much. This word used here for love is agape, and it speaks of a love that's called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the one that is loved. And it's a love that impels one to sacrifice oneself for the benefit of the object loved. This is the love shown to us at Calvary. That's what John 3:16 says, that God so loved the world, that God loved the world so much that He sent His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but receive eternal life. So we see what God demonstrated through us, His rich mercy and His love and His grace. Secondly, we see what God has done for us. verses 5 to 8. First of all, verse 8, God saved us. Verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. God saved us from the penalty of sin as a gift of his grace, and not because of anything that we have done. As we grow in relationship with him and live in the power of his strength, we are being saved from sin's power over us. So God saved us. As we grow in relationship with him and in the life and the power of his strength, live in the power of his strength, we are being saved from sin's power over us. We've been saved and we are being saved from sin's power. So what God has done for us, he saved us. Secondly, God gave us life in Christ. Verse 5 says that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 show us our condition before Christ. We were spiritually dead in our sin. When Jesus willingly laid down his life for our sins, and God the Father raised him from the dead, we were given life in him. Paul shows us this in Romans 6, 1 to 4, by reminding us that our baptism pictures our burial with Christ and then our resurrection from the dead to new life in him. So as we accept God's gift of salvation and forgiveness through Christ, we are given new life in Christ. Thirdly, we see that God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. This is what we read in verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We see here that our identification with Christ continues. Chapter 1 is full of in Christ, through Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we read that Christ Jesus was raised and seated in the place of authority in the heavenly realms. Here in chapter 2, verse 6, we see that because we are united with Christ, we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. We not only share in Christ's life, but we now share in his victory. And listen to this. We now share in his victory over those things which once ruled us. Can you believe that? Amen. Amen. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 tell us that we were in bondage to the kingdom, the power of the air, to the devil, and to those demons that he commands. Now we are being told that we share in Christ's victory over those things that once ruled us. And we sit with Christ, not because of what we've done, but because of whose we are. We belong to him. That is our position. We need to understand that. We'll see as we go through this letter to the Ephesians that the difference it makes as we come to understand our position in Christ. So we've been looking at what God demonstrated through us, what God did for us, and finally, number three, what God designed us to be. We see this in verse 7 and verse 10. In verse 7, we see that God designed us to be an exhibit of his grace. Verse 7 says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God designed us to be an exhibit of his grace. Stuart Briscoe, in his commentary, says, some parts of his creation, like the infinite reaches of the galaxies, will be exhibits of his power. Others, like the angels, will demonstrate his holiness. But only redeemed sinners will be able to show forth his grace. He goes on to say, in eternity, all things will have their place, showing the many splendored majesty of our God. But you will be in the grace department. Wow. We will be exhibits of his amazing grace. The second thing Paul tells us that God designed us to be in verse 10 is examples of his workmanship. Or as we read in the NLT here, verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In the original Greek, the word order in that first sentence emphasizes whose we are. It sounds something like this. God's masterpiece are we. God's masterpiece are we. The word translated here, masterpiece or workmanship, is the Greek word from which we get our word poem. Paul is saying that we are examples of God's creative genius. He goes on to explain that we were crafted by God for a purpose, to do good things that he planned for us long ago. We've been created as an example of God's amazing work, what he can do, an exhibit of his grace and amazing workmanship, to do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now we know our good works cannot save us. They're like filthy rags, oil-stained rags. However, when we accept Christ Jesus as our sin forgiver, our Savior, and our life leader, our Lord, we are remade, becoming and able to accomplish all that God intended us to be. Now, these good works that we're called to do are in response now to God's amazing grace, which brought us from death to life. What are these good works? The Bible tells us what pleases God, but in a nutshell, it is to reflect the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. We have been blessed to be a blessing, and we go out under the authority and protection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Let me close with a prayer for our benediction. You have been given every good gift for proclaiming God's presence and God's love. The world is thirsting for this good news. People struggle for words of hope and peace. As you have been blessed, now go to be a blessing in God's name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord bless you and go in his strength.